But we're in this series called Faith Without Borders. I mean, this is our fourth week in this. We're 3 weeks in, last 3 weeks. If you have missed these messages, please go to livingouttruth.com and check out these messages. You got to catch up. But God put this on my heart. It was 4 weeks ago that God really laid this on my heart on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. It was at Seek. And just the fruit from this series has been just incredible. Gang, could you imagine, think, what would it be like if we honestly came to a place knowing how great God is, that nothing is difficult for him, and every promise that he's ever declared will absolutely come true, that you come to a place to say, God, my faith needs to get to a place that has no boundaries, needs to get to a place that has no borders. God, I need to trust you unconditionally. Seriously, I want you to think about it. What conditions have we put on our trust in God? A time limit? Ah, God, it's past that time. Have we put different conditions? Have we allowed people to come in and change the conditions? Or do we really have a faith? Because Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. Colossians 1:10 says that I would walk worthy of you and please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in your knowledge and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Gang, when you talk about God, that's my prayer for my home team daily and my staff, the team that serves in this church and this congregation as a whole, God, that we would walk in a manner that is worthy of you, that we would please you in all respects. And when we talk about pleasing God in everything we do, there has to be, according to 11:6 Hebrews, there has to be a level of faith. Because God says in Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please him if we don't do it with faith. Powerful. What happens if we understood, no matter where we're at in life, God, I need to trust you today. I need to have enough faith for today. Come on. Three places I want you to turn. I want you to start in Mark 2. We're going to switch around from the first service just a little bit. I just feel in my heart, I want to start with Mark 2. So, I'm sorry, Matthew 6, not Mark 2. We're going to start in Matthew 6, then go to Mark 2, and then go to Genesis 17. So flip over to Matthew 6, please. We're going to start there. We're going to go to Mark 2, and then Genesis, and then to Mark. Let's ask God to bless our time. God, we are amazed by you. God, you are a God of all light and all power and all might. God, there is absolutely nothing difficult for you. You can do all things, God. God, we got to trust you. What would it be, Father, if we made that choice? We made that decision to trust you in every circumstance in life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, great days, bad days. What would it be like if we said, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Let my faith have no borders, God. I want a faith in you that is without borders, God, that has no time limit to it, that does not have a condition to it, God. I look at the face of impossibility and say, God, you can do all things. You can do all things. God, that we would trust you. Speak to us this morning. God, please let your spirit come in this place and just pinpoint this message to every individual heart that's here. Folks, I ask that you would ask God. God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. I need this today. Speak to me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, Matthew 6 says this. I want to start with this. Because I want you to know the beginning of this. Almost every message in this series has closed with God expects us to trust him. That's what God expects. When you understand, we have gone through different closes to these messages to say, when you understand, God, I want faith without borders, but it goes deeper than that. God has an expectation to his children that we would trust him. God expects us to trust him. We've talked about Matthew on the water. We talked about all these different scenarios where it was an amazing, incredible thing. And then Jesus looked and said, where was your faith? We looked at them in a boat in a storm, which could have taken their life, legit could have taken their life. And Jesus looked and says, you have little faith. Yeah, but water's coming over the wall. We see Peter walking on water and it begins to sink. Jesus looks at him and said, where was your faith? Jesus never even mentions that he walked on water. That's amazing. That was pretty cool. Yeah, but you sank. Doubt showed up. Where's your faith? And isn't it amazing that we serve when we really have our eyes open to the fact that God is all-powerful and almighty and he can do all things. God has no borders. God can go against the facts. God can go against nature. God can go against that which we see is impossible, and God can do the impossible because he is God almighty. And then what happens when our faith matches where God's expectation is, where God expects us to trust him? That's serious. Come on, I want you to see this. God expects us to trust him. Look at this, Matthew 6, verse 27. And you who being worried, who can add one single to his life? Gang, we could preach a month on being worried and what it is to have a peace that surpasses understanding, knowing, God, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to be thankful in my prayers, and I'm going to give my supplication to you, and I'm going to cry out to you, and I'm not going to have an inch of worry. Gang, I got to tell you, honestly, there are times, man, that I worry. There's a sense of, God, what's going to happen? And then I'm reminded, man, have enough faith for today, Sean. Why are you so concerned about tomorrow? Why are you so concerned about next year? Why are you so concerned? Have enough faith for today. Now, and honestly, I have come to the realization I may not be here tomorrow. I don't give any credit. I plan for tomorrow, but the reality is I may not be here tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. Wouldn't it be amazing if all of us weren't here tomorrow because Jesus returned? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, that'd be awesome. Like, okay, whoop, gone. Actually, I'm not here tomorrow, but I am home. But you never know. One day could change. 1 hour could rearrange your life forever. But where's our faith in that? Now look at it. I want you to see this. Come on. Verse 27, and who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Isn't that so true? Matter of fact, stress and worry takes away from your life. It does nothing to add to it. And I love this. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into a furnace, will he not, now look at this, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Even when it comes down to the simple things of life that we get so twisted over and so confused and so worried, God says, when you worry, you lack faith. Isn't it incredible that God says, I expect you to trust me. I expect you to trust me. And he says this, verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I just say this, right off the top of this message, what happens if honestly we wake up day after day and say, God, I need enough faith for today. Tomorrow has its own issues. But God, I want enough faith for today. If I'm really going to walk in a place, if we wake up morning after morning, spending time in his word, spending time in worship, spending time before him, spending our quiet time, that we wake up and say, God, I want a faith that has no borders. God, I want to get to that place in my faith that I can trust you unconditionally. Even when everything goes great, when you have a season that is just an unstoppable, like, man, everything is flowing. Everything is amazing. Gang, at those times are very sensitive times, because at those times you can forget that you're there because of God. And then trust begins to dip a little. Say, man, I've done this myself, or I'm okay, or everything's going great. I don't really need to get on my face today because everything is going great. Why do we have this sense that we only need to get on our face when things go wrong? I don't understand that. Where it's day after day in this amazing relationship with him, crying out to him, and how awesome and amazing God is that on our face, day after day, wouldn't it be awesome if we came to a place where that trust unconditionally matched, God, you expect me to trust you. Why am I worried? Give me enough faith for today. Tomorrow is over. Today is here. And I have no idea what will take place. I mean, yesterday's over. Today is here. I have no idea what will take place tomorrow. But God, for today, the here, the now, where I'm at now, God, give me enough faith for today. Because, Father, you expect me to trust you for today. Where would you be in 30 days of doing that? Where would you be 6 months of doing that? Please, please hear this. Where would you be in a year of every day saying, God, give me enough faith for today? Just maybe we'd all be in a place, self-included. When that sweet two rivers meet, say, God, I want to trust you unconditionally because I know that you expect me to trust you. Boom. God, give me enough faith for today. Come on, let's look at this, please. Mark 2. We're going to see where someone needed faith for that day. It's an incredible story. Mark 2, verse 1 says this, and when he came back, this is Jesus, when he came back to Capernaum, several days afterward, it was heard that he was home. This is Jesus. Jesus, listen, Matthew 4:13 says that Jesus, when he left Nazareth, he came to a place and settled in Capernaum. This is where he settled. This is where he lived his life, folks. He lived his little baby life in Nazareth. When he grew up, he was at a place. He was a carpenter. He picked up dad's trade and he did business, man. This is where he worked. This is where he made business. This is where he made relationships. And he came to a place to settle himself in a place called Capernaum. So here we see Matthew 4:13. He left Nazareth and this is where he made his life in Capernaum. So we get this amazing picture that Jesus comes home and he's now in his residence. Somehow along this journey, people were hearing about Jesus. People heard about this one. Man, that's Jesus. That's the miracle worker. That's the one. And the Bible says this. I want you to see this. Now look at that. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door, that he was speaking the word to them. What was Jesus doing that was so aggressive in such a way that people flocked, that people couldn't wait to get to Jesus? He stood there and preached. He gave them the word. He gave them the gospel. And we see Jesus doing miracle after miracle after miracle. Man, the people flocked to this where there was no longer room in the house. I mean, I could imagine this picture where people outside the door and people are listening at the windows and people are trying to hear every word that he speak. What was he doing? He was preaching the good news. Man, he was preaching life and he was preaching the gospel and he was preaching the word to them. And there was just not any left, no room left for these people because they were just everywhere. Okay, I'm telling you, I want a day that even now in this short season until maybe one day we get a building that we can't put enough people in the foyer because they're watching it on that TV screen out there, or this door has to be open because someone set up chairs outside that door. Couldn't it be? Why? What are we doing? We're not doing anything special but just preaching this. And we trust God shows up and brings great conviction and changes lives, and marriages won't be the same and teenagers won't be the same and they'll be aggressive and they'll have the ones who can understand and reject any peer pressure, and the college students come in ready to change the world because God's calling them out and all over the place, and yet they hear the gospel and they respond to it. How powerful is that, folks? And all he did was preach. How about all we do is preach? Is that a plan? And then God will bring people in and then you've got this group. This is awesome. Verse 3, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof. Could you imagine? I could see right here. Get this picture. I could see where there's this paralytic and he's paralyzed. And he's got these four brothers, man. There's just like this bond between these five. And they're like, man, Jesus is home and we got to get to his house. And I could see him carrying, just call him John. Who knows what his name is? He's carrying John. And these four guys are just, John, man, what have you been eating? I mean, they're just like, you are heavier than we imagined. So they're carrying John, right? And then could you imagine their faces when they're coming around a corner, whatever it looked like, and they see Jesus' house. And there's people outside at the windows and there's people blocking the door because everyone just wants to hear. And they're just looking and going, there's no way. We can't even get through. How are we going to carry us four plus you? How is us five going to get through this crowd when they can't even get in singly to get to Jesus? And then some rocket scientist says, oh, let's go through the roof. I mean, could you imagine their eyes going, you want to tear? I mean, I can imagine John on the cart. Who watched Top Gun? Where Tom Cruise says, we're going to slow down and he's going to fly right by. And the dude in the back was like, what? I mean, you know, like, what? And I could see John going, you're going to do what? Well, John, if we drop you, really, it's not going to. I mean, really. I'm sure that wasn't their heart, but maybe it crossed their mind. I mean, dude, come on. So they're like, okay, let's go on top of this house, which was actually Jesus' home. Hey, the one that we want you to heal him, let's rip up his house. That's a plan. Again, you understand it's a flat roof and it's clay and it's hay and it's straw and there's these amazing pieces. This wasn't a quiet job. Like I can imagine one of them on top where he's listening, going, where's his voice? I don't even know where to start. Wait, I think this is it. And you could imagine that he starts digging and like automatic, Jesus is teaching and preaching. It's like Christmas, man. He hears feet on top of the roof. Like, hey, Santa Claus is a myth, man. And all of a sudden, rip, rip, rip. And all of a sudden, all this dust starts falling in. Then all of a sudden, they start lowering their buddy down. You talk about faith without borders. You talk about, I need to get to the feet of Jesus. We need to get you to a place that you were before the master. We need to get you to a place, whatever it takes. We can't get through the crowd. We can't go through a window. Through the roof, perfect. And they just start shredding whatever it takes to get to Jesus. And I love this. Jesus responds. I love this. Look at this. Verse 5. And Jesus, seeing their faith. Seeing their faith. Now, this just screams to me like, Sean, has Jesus seen you? Is your faith in action, or do you just sit on your faith? We'll wait till the meeting's over, and then maybe we'll come back tomorrow. And they were in a place to say, whatever it takes to get to the feet of Jesus. Whatever it takes to get before Jesus. In the Bible, Jesus even responds, seeing their faith. Folks, has Christ seen your faith in action? Or do we just sit on our faith? Or do we come to a place when things are going wrong, when we're in a storm of life, when we're in a season of life? Do we honestly in our hearts say whatever it takes to get to Jesus? Whatever it takes to get before Him. Man, I need to be before Jesus. I need to be in His presence. I need to get to a place on my living room floor. I need to get to a place, pull my car over and just get before Jesus. Gang, listen, please hear this. When we cry out to Jesus, He is present. We come to a place to recognize your spirit reigns within me. You are always, always, forever with me. And I need to find my place in you and get to a place to be before you because I just can't go to another day. What happens if we have enough faith for today? To find ourselves driven to be before Jesus. Folks, when's the last time you were before Jesus? Not including today. And it's a powerful presence of God. Self-driven. That you are on your face before Jesus. It's incredible. Folks, I wake up and my knees hit the floor. And I spend time with Jesus. And then I'm allowed to get my coffee. But my time with Christ is first. Because I personally need to be before Jesus day after day because I need enough faith for today. And we see this incredible story unfold. You got the scribes and Jesus says, listen, your sins are forgiven. And people just freak out over this. Man, only God alone can forgive sins. Who do you think you are? And then Jesus, amazing as He is, knows your thoughts. And He says, fine. You're healed. Pick up and walk. Pick up your cart that they lowered you down in. Pick up your pallet and walk. And could you imagine this? This is so amazing. Could you imagine that when Jesus said this? Listen, I know there's times that you go through. Listen, me just in my leg, when I broke my leg, I had to go through physical therapy and I had to go through all kind of. This guy instantly gained no physical therapy. Ankles were strong. Muscles came back. Arms came back. I mean, you could imagine every part of his body was instantly incredibly healed because Jesus said, pick up your cot and walk. And you could imagine, remember, this house was packed. There was no room for them. All of a sudden, there's the Red Sea, man. There it is. People are like, oh, we are getting out of this guy's way. I mean, it's like, whoop, and they just split. And this guy picks up his cot and he walks out. Why? 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 Because Jesus said, seeing their faith. Gang, is your faith an action faith? Is your faith come to a place to say, I need to be before Jesus and I will do whatever it takes in that absolute moment to get there. Gang, there are times that I drive my car that I have to pull over just to be before Jesus because of going through something in life. I remember a time, there was a time I was on Route 16 and they have that little pullover there. And I was just going through something and I just said, it's now, I need to be before you now. And I pulled the car over and just spent time with Jesus. And I tell you what, I came off the hill different. Amen. What happens? What happens when you say it's now? I need enough faith now for today and I need to be before Jesus. Does He see your faith? Does He see your faith in that, folks? Do you come to a place to say, I need Jesus now? All right, come on, let's get to the message. Genesis, please. Genesis 17. Because we want to talk about someone this morning named Sarah. Just an amazing woman. And you come to a place where I want you to see what Hebrews 11. Show Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11, 11. Because this is kind of where this message really originates from. The title of the message is to consider him faithful. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. Okay, please hear this, man. The woman is 90. 90. Her man at this time is 99. Like, honestly, they didn't have the little blue pills. I mean, they're like, come on. Like, seriously, God, we are both way past that. The body has shut down. Things are not working right, man. Come on, when you understand that she had to come to a place that was beyond borders, come to a place to realize, if you're telling me this, if this is your promise that I'm going to conceive and bear a son, what? I mean, this is like, I'm 89, he's 99, I'm going to be 90, he's going to be 100. Things just don't work. But why? Where did her faith come from? Please hear this. Because the fact is, her body was too old. Just she says it. We're going to read that. It was just, my body is past that time. Not desire, it's just physically incapable. But God gave you a promise. Yeah, but the fact of my body is this. Yeah, but God gave you a promise. Yeah, but you're missing the facts. No, you're missing that God gave you a promise. How many times, please hear this, how many times do we look at facts? Mm-hmm. And facts dictate our faith. Fact is, last week their backs was against the water. Fact is, the army was coming to take them out. Faith is, Almighty God can split the sea. Fact is, Sarah's body was at a place that absolutely could not produce. That's a fact. But God gave her a promise. Where faith comes in, and I want you to see this. Please see this, even by faith. Where would her faith come from? Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since what? She considered him faithful. Gang, what happens? Please, man, what happens if we come to a place to consider that God is faithful? And the word faithful, well, we're going to read several scriptures. The word faithful, it means be loyal or trustworthy. What happens? What happens if we really come to a place to say, God, I need to consider that you are trustworthy? Mm-hmm. She in a place. Fact says there's no way you have children. Faith said, God, you're faithful. You are trustworthy. I put my trust in you. You can do all things. She considered him faithful who had promised. And I want you to see this. Come on, I want to throw some verses up on the screen, please. Because I want you to see them. Here we go. Deuteronomy 7 says this. Now therefore, like folks, gang, I want you to get this, because our faith is, our trust in God is dependent upon how much we trust him. That's a choice. Don't miss that. Our trust in God depends on how much we trust him. Do you consider he is faithful? Do you consider that he is trustworthy? Do you consider that he is loyal? Do you consider that there's not one thing that he's ever said that will happen that's not going to happen? Not one. Any promise that we get in his word is absolutely going to come true. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Now look at this. Knowing therefore that God, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant. Look at it. His covenant, his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Can you bank on, folks? Can you personally bank and consider that he is faithful to love you? God is always faithful. His loving kindness can be trusted on. It is trustworthy. It is loyal. No matter what, no matter where, God is going to love me. Why? Because I can bank on that. In my worst moment, I can bank that God used to love me. Even at times of drifting, at times when God is calling you back, at times when you know, man, that was sin against God and I need to repent. God is love. That's what he is. And this tells us that, man, faithful God, consider that he is loyal. Consider that he is trustworthy, that he keeps his covenant and his loving kindness, that he will always love me because the cross made a blood covenant with me and I've accepted that and I am forever his. Gang, that is amazing when you get that. Amazing when you get that. Come on. Look at Psalm. Psalm says this. Your loving kindness, again, your loving kindness, the Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness, your loyalty reaches to the skies. 1 Kings says this. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed. Not one word has failed. Honestly, man, this is depth. Can you trust that? Can you believe that? Not one word has ever failed. See, folks, I can't say that. Not everything that I have ever said has come through. But there's a level of trust that Renee has for me because she considers me faithful. She considers me trustworthy. She considers me loyal. How much more in a relationship? Are you in that relationship with God? How much more is that relationship with Him, He who is perfect, and He who nothing is difficult for, and when we understand not one word that you've ever said has failed? How much more? From a non-perfect relationship to a very perfect relationship, can we really trust in Him? Do you consider Him faithful? Not one word has failed of all of His good promise, which He promised through Moses, His servant. And then verse 57 says that He will never forsake you and He'll never leave you. 1 Kings 8:57, He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. That's a promise. Not one word will fail. And He says, I will never leave you. Sean, I'll never leave you. Sean, I'm never going to forsake you. Even in those years when you turned your back on me, even in those years you went and you did your own thing. I have never forsaken you. That's a word, folks, that had never failed in my life. Never. Never. Because God's promise is true. I promise you, Sean, I will never leave you. I will promise you, Sean, that I will not forsake you. When I act, no one can reverse it. That's awesome. That's awesome. Folks, where are you in this? Come on, 1 Corinthians, I love this. Love this. God is faithful. I love this. For whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Lord Jesus Christ our Lord. Gang, do you understand? God is faithful to save. Look at this. God is faithful. He is loyal. He is trustworthy. Through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son. That's fellowship means relationship. Relationship is through the cross. Gang, if you come to a place this morning, hear this, that you've really come to a place, say, God, I trust you for my salvation. God, I am yours. I'm yours forever because, God, because I've been adopted, I belong to you, and you've come to a place to realize God's faithfulness. God is trustworthy. Listen, so many people get, well, you don't know what I've done, and I've got this whole past of sin, and I've got this, Listen, if He can really take David, who was a murderer and an adulterer, if He can really take Paul, the New Testament version of one who was absolutely hateful, hated the church, went after the church, murdered the church, destroyed family, I'm kind of thinking that He can do something with us. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Why? Because He says He's loyal, man. He's trustworthy. You can trust it. You can bank on it that He looks to save. It is His desire, man. It's His will that all men would come to a place of salvation. And it's only, please hear this, man, it is only through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And when you understand this, gang, when you understand, God, you are faithful, I can trust you. I can trust you for my salvation. Please hear this, even in a sense, at times when we have drifted. Even in a sense, at times when it's time to turn back, we can trust God that we are saved because He's loyal, because He's trustworthy. One last verse, Hebrews says this. I love this. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith, or our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. The Bible says that we have to confess that Christ is Lord. There it is right there. Christ, you are Lord. You are Master. You are Supreme. And I confess that you are Supreme of my life. Let us hold fast. Let us be steadfast of that confession of our hope without wavering. Man, I'm not going to move from that position. Because why? Because He who promised is loyal, is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. I want to see this in Sarah. What was it? What was her faith? How is it that she came to a place to have faith enough to conceive? It's because she trusted and considered that God is loyal. Come on, we got to zip through this. I got about 2 minutes. Genesis 15 gives the promise. God, before Abraham, says, look up, see the stars. Your descendants will be more than the stars. Powerful. You can't count them. Well, chapter 16, verse 1 says, Sarah couldn't conceive. Her womb is dried up. There is no children coming from her. So you've got the promise, but yet then you have the problem. And then you have Genesis 17 says this. Verse 16, God shows up again to Abraham and says, listen, I'm going to bless your wife. And I'm going to bless her, and she is going to come to a place to be the mother of many nations, and she is going to be kings of peoples are going to come from her. And then Abraham falls on his face, and the Bible says that he laughs. And then verse 18, God comes a second time, chapter 18. And then he shows up again, and Abraham is just all pumped. God is showing up. Sarah, get the best lamb and get the best food and the best bread. And then God drops this bomb again in verse 10, saying, hey, listen, I'm going to surely return to you. And at this time next year, behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And I can't imagine that Sarah hears. Sarah says she's listening at the tent door. I mean, I couldn't imagine that any woman would be having her ear up to some tent trying to hear a conversation. Shocking. But there she is with the cup to the tent wall. Going, what are they talking about? Wait, I heard my name. What's that? It's a pregnant. And the Bible says she laughs. And God calls her on it. Why'd you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. It's like, seriously? It's like the kid that has the cookies all over his face and his hands in the jar. So I didn't have any cookies. What are you talking about? Really? I mean, she laughs. But then we see an amazing thing a year later. This 90-year-old woman and this 100-year-old man have a son named Isaac. But what happened from the laughter thinking, this is a joke, man. The fact is, it's impossible. To the point of conception and birth. Because Hebrews 11 accounts it to her faith. Why? Because she considered. God, you are trustworthy. Come on, let's close our eyes, please. Folks, wherever you're at this morning, what is it to have a faith that has no borders? What happens when our level of faith come to a place where God expects us to trust Him? Can I ask you a serious question? Do you have enough faith for today? Because at times I think that we just need to clear out yesterday, really come to a place to forget about tomorrow, and have enough faith to trust God for today. Will you this morning consider, God, you are loyal. You are trustworthy. God, I can trust you to love me. No matter where I'm at this morning, God, I can trust you. You love me. God, I can trust that you love me. And you come to a place where we can look at the facts and say, God, I need enough faith for you to do the impossible, because nothing is impossible with you. And let my faith be enough for today. Can you just in your heart say, God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. I need enough faith for today, God. No matter what's taking place in my life, with everything, folks, please hear this, even if everything is going great, you still need enough faith for today. I ask that you would please God today. God, that I would please you in all respects. Everything I think, say, and do today, God, I want to please you. And that takes a level of faith, because it's impossible to please you without faith. God, I want to consider that you are always faithful, that you are always loyal, and you are trustworthy. Everything you've ever said, God, has never failed. God, you are faithful. Man, in your heart, can you say, God, you are faithful? I know he's looking around. I don't want anyone to come forward, but I'm just asking that you would acknowledge God in this place this morning. If you're here and you're like, I need enough faith for today. I need enough faith just for today. I want to forget about yesterday. Tomorrow may not happen. But I'm here today, and I need enough faith for today. I want to pray for you, please. Please just put your hand in the air. Please, come on, put it up. Don't hesitate. Respond. Say, God, I need enough faith for today. Father, please bless these people. God, no matter where we're walking or what we're doing, God, you are trustworthy. We trust you. We consider that you are faithful, God. We trust you. God, today, today, here and now, begin to build our faith, that we would have enough faith, enough trust in you. God, will you expect us to trust you today? That God, we'd have enough faith just for now. Just for now. Tomorrow's a new day. And your mercies, God, they're new every morning, God. God, your mercies are new. And tomorrow, God, I'll have enough faith for tomorrow. Whatever it is, God, I'll have enough faith. I will trust you tomorrow. But today, God, today I walk in a manner that is worthy of you. And today, God, I will please you. Everything that I do will please you. Because, God, I know that it is impossible to please you without faith. So, God, I need enough faith for now, for today. Today, I trust you. Today, God, I know that you are loyal. I am considering that you are faithful in that. God, I can trust you in all things. Because you are faithful. Because you are faithful. Because you are faithful. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Come on, amen. Can we give God praise this morning, please?